People often ask me, hey, can I sit down with you one-on-one? Let me pick your brain, get whatever info from you on how to sell on Amazon, how to get started. Well, guess what? You can sit one-on-one with me for more than 3 hours on my mini course, aaroncordovas.com/start. And I will sit down with you one-on-one and give you all the info that I think you need to get started on Amazon. With Amazon ads continually increasing in price, what is going to be your competitive edge? At Samurai Seller, we've created a software that helps you take control of your Amazon ads, not just with ad tools, but tools for analytics into your business and your profitability to make sure that you're always increasing in sales and in profit. Try it for an entire month for free on me. SamuraiSeller.com/start and get a free month of the cutting edge Samurai Seller software for Amazon performance.
This is the Aaron Cordovez Show.
Today, I have a very, very good friend, Mr. Jay Cammy, on the show, who is an absolute inspiration. Right? Some people think of like Colonel Sanders starting career later in life. I don't think of Colonel Sanders. I think of Jay Cammy. Because this man has just done spectacular things. And anyway, welcome.
Thank you, Aaron. It's so nice to be here.
Yeah. So Jay, just to start, because there's people of all spectrums, starting young, starting older, starting whatever. How many years young are you right now?
I'm 62.
62 years old.
Yeah.
So people would say like 65 is the time to retire. I don't think you're anywhere near retiring. Probably.
No, I'm decades away from retiring.
good. So. I want to go back to the beginning, right? Yeah. A lot of people that are watching, a lot of people who are thinking about business are saying, maybe I can't do it, right? I've been in a job for a long time. I've done things for a while the way I'm doing it. And clearly you found a way to break out of something. And you've just done an amazing climb in your life in the last, I don't know how many years. But take me back to, how did you get started just in life? I don't know, like, did you go to college? What was your upbringing and how did you end up where you are? I know it's a huge question.
a lot to cover there. First of all, let me start by saying I'm a huge fan of you also. You're inspirational to so many people and I'm one of your biggest fans. So I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, thank you.
Talking to the man.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to start when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And I didn't go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to go to college. I came from a nice Jewish family where you become a doctor or a lawyer, something prestigious.
Yeah.
And I went to a good high school. It was called the Bronx High School of Science. And I was, on the road. And I remember one summer, I was walking in New York City, and this was after I graduated. And my dad is like, college, and this is your last summer, and you're going to go to college, and you're going to be successful. And I was walking by a store in New York City, which is where I'm from, in Greenwich Village. And there was a hand in the window.
Mm-hmm. Like a plastic hand.
A plastic hand, a rubber hand, okay. Moving around. Oh. And why that's significant is because when I was a kid, I had no friends. And as I talk more, you're going to understand why. But I loved, in the comic books, when you at the last page of the comic book, they have all these prank novelty items.
For sale.
For sale.
Like it's like a catalog, like an ad, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. All these little things. I used to love those.
Okay.
And I used to use my allowance to buy those things.
Yeah.
And I remember in one of them, they had a hand. And have you ever heard of the Addams Family?
Of course.
Yeah.
The Thing, right?
The Thing, exactly. And I love The Thing. Like to me, The Thing, I used to imagine The Thing was my best friend.
Really?
Yeah. Because I had no real friends.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'd imagine I'd come home and Thing would be there wiggling, and it would give me a thumbs up or, a high five.
Yeah.
And I would impress my friends with this intelligent hand because Thing could see you, but it had no eyes.
Right.
And Thing could think and feel and understand, yet it had no brain.
Oh.
And the idea of this all-knowing hand made me smile.
And I
thought, wow, I wish I could have a best friend. And I said to my parents, can you get me a Thing?
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, there were no intelligent living hands in existence when I was a kid.
Okay.
So I saw this hand.
By the way, I also had best friends or imaginary friends all the time, right? I mean, I did. It wasn't a thing. They were more real, but not more real. I mean, they were more. I was less imaginative as you.
Well, they were your friends, right? And they kept you company when you were lonely, right? Yeah. And so when I saw this hand in the window 10 years later, mm-hmm. that dream of the hand, for some reason, I was magnetized to it.
Wow.
And I thought, you know what? I was looking for something to make money.
Yeah.
I thought I could sell this hand in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the manufacturer and I said, hey.
How did you find the manufacturer?
I bought the hand. Uh-huh. And I saw it on the actual hand.
Okay, good.
It was a company called Vic's Novelties in California. Okay. And I remember I called Vic's Novelties. I said, hey, I love your hand. I want to be your exclusive street vendor in New York City.
Okay.
And he's like, what, street vendor? I said, yeah, I want to sell your hands on the sidewalks of New York.
And you're like 18, 17?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And he said, you know, we sell to Spencer Gifts. We sell to other, we don't really want street vendors. I said, tell you what, I'm going to put cash in a FedEx envelope and send it to you. Could you sell it to me then? He said, yeah.
Okay.
So I put cash in a FedEx envelope. I sent it over to him. And I had these hands that I was selling in front of the New York Stock Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
I had three hands. The first hand was in a big bowl of lettuce. And what do you think I called that?
Iceberg hand.
That's good. I actually call it my hand-tossed salad.
Hand-tossed salad. Okay, good.
You got to get a picture of this.
Yeah.
This is a hand with that's moving around.
Uh-huh.
It's battery operated.
Uh-huh.
So it's wiggling. It looks like a real hand. It looks like Thing from the Addams Family.
Wow.
So it's moving out of this big bowl of lettuce. Then I took another hand and I put it in between two pieces of bread.
Uh-huh.
And that, of course, was my
your handwich.
Yes.
Ah.
Handwich or the hand sandwich or the hamburger. Okay. We had a bunch, but I love the handwich.
Okay.
It was one of my favorites. And then the third bag, I put in the brown paper bag,
mm-hmm.
and it was wiggling around on the table. And that was my designer handbag. Okay, I'm going to stop these hand jokes.
No, it's perfect.
No, it's getting out of hand.
Yeah.
So I set up these three hands and I start pitching to people on the streets. Get your hands here, freshly cut this morning. Only a handful left.
But wait, you only have three to sell.
No, I had three on display.
Oh, on display.
Yeah.
Okay. We only ordered three units.
Okay. No, I had only a handful left.
Mm-hmm.
Very handy gift.
Can you give me a hand with this, please?
Yeah, I need who needs a helping hand? These are not new, they're secondhand. And immediately I had a crowd of people surrounding me.
Wow.
I never knew so many people in New York needed a hand. And in 1 hour, I sold 50 hands at $10 each.
Wow.
And profit was 50%. So I'm looking at $250 profit for an hour's work. And that
night. You became a baller that day.
I became a what?
A baller.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You got some cash.
I became the man. And I remember going home to my dad and saying, Dad, I've decided what I'm going to do with my life.
Oh, God. Oh, wow. I can only imagine this conversation.
Yeah, and he's going, yes. I said, I'm not going to go to college. He said, really? And my dad was a very serious man.
Mm-hmm.
Everything had to be very serious.
Mm-hmm.
He was a social worker. He
mm-hmm.
he wanted a real job.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what do you intend to do? I said, I'm going to sell severed hands for a living on the streets of New York. He said, selling hands is not a real job. It's not a serious job. I said, but Dad, I'm not a serious person. And for the next 7 years, and I remember he walked away. He was very sad.
Yeah.
It's like, I remember looking in his eyes, he just like looked at me and just nodded his, shook his head like this, like I was making the biggest mistake of my life.
Mm.
And for the next 7 years, all I did every day was sell hands.
Wow.
On the sidewalks of New York City, every day, whether it was hot or cold. And then after it got worn out in New York because fads end, I moved to Washington, D.C. and sold hands in the streets of Washington, D.C.
Mm.
And then I moved to San Francisco and sold hands there.
So, but okay, your first day you sold 10 hands in an hour.
50 hands.
Oh, sorry, 50 hands.
50 hands.
In an hour.
Yeah.
$500, 50% margin. But that, you only were out for 1 hour. I would imagine you wanted, then they wanted to go out for like 10 hours at a time? Or how did this progress?
This is why I told my dad I'm quitting. I said, I'm looking, if I sell 50 hands in an hour, I'll do this every day and I'll just keep making tons of money. So I bought as many hands as I could get, and that's all I did. 7 years, I sold hands every day for 7 years.
Wow.
Remember the Hands Across America tour in the 1980s?
No.
No, okay, that's before your time. It's called Hands Across America. It was a bunch of singers got together. Anyway, that's what I was doing, my Hands Across America tour.
Yeah.
And
after, so how much did you make? I just wanna know, like, because there's, okay, the first, what this tells me is your level of creativity is so massive, right?
Hmm.
Someone to grab an audience at such a young age and say, this is what I'm going to do with my life, that takes courage.
Hmm.
But it also takes a creativity, because if you would have just put the hands on a stand, nobody would have bought them. Or you would have had sales like 10% of the sales.
You're right.
You have to make the show. So you're a show person. You're a performer, an imaginative person. And it's... nobody could ever have told you this is a business model. You can't go to YouTube, hey, what business should I start? Selling hands on the street. Like, nobody's going to tell you that, right? It's a novel idea. It's something creative out of nothing. And so it was you created this business model, or the combination. Now, how much did you do in that, like, let's say first year? Do you remember at all? Like,
I don't remember, but I was making money, and I was, and again, I'm basically an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like performing. I don't like being in front of people, mm-hmm. but this was my purpose. And when you have a purpose, it changes you. You do things out of love that you develop superpowers mm-hmm. that emerge from you because you're following your purpose.
You wanted to bring people not an imaginary thing.
Yeah.
A real thing.
Exactly.
Not the fake one.
Right.
Give me the real thing.
The real thing.
Yeah.
Like Coke. The real thing.
Yeah.
And I was spending the money, like, you know, I'm a kid.
Yeah.
What do I know? I'm spending money. I'm getting things. I'm buying expensive presents for people. I'm taking vacations. And at the end of 7 years, at this point, I'm in my late 20s,
uh-huh.
and the hand fad is over.
Mm, they're not selling anything.
No, and I've got tons of hands, and I have no money.
Mm.
And I'm like, shit. I'm seeing my friends who became lawyers and doctors. They graduated college, and I'm broke again.
Yeah. Snap.
I'm empty-handed.
Empty, okay.
And there was only one person I could turn to. My dad.
Hmm.
And I went to him and I said, I told him my story. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he goes, Jay. And I go, oh my God, here it comes. Here's the, I told you so. You should have gone to college. You should have listened to me. I thought, but I deserve it.
Yeah.
And he said, you think I don't understand why you love this hand, this thing. But did you know when I was young, I also had a thing? And I'm thinking, what?
No.
You had a thing also? And he said, my thing was to act and to write and to direct movies.
What?
But my mother wanted me to be a social worker. So I gave up my dream, my thing, to please her. Don't make that same mistake.
Wow.
Do your thing. And then he wrote me a check to keep my business alive. It wasn't a lot, but the fact that he believed in me and that he wanted me to continue doing, because he saw how much I love this.
Wow.
And he wanted me to keep going. And I realized at that moment that my purpose, my thing, wasn't thing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a thing. It was to make people smile.
Yes.
And to make people laugh.
Wow.
And if I could do that with a hand, I could do that with other toys.
Wow.
And that's what launched me into the toy business, is my knowing my purpose.
That is amazing. By the way, when you said that with the story with your dad, I mean, I got goosebumps all over. This is so spectacular, because he didn't want you. I mean, I don't know if he considered it a mistake, but the way he's talking to you, he had another life he could have done. And it's a small decision. And he's saying, I don't want you to go down that path.
Right. And check this out. When he was 80 years old, he retired. And he said to me, one day he calls me up and he says, Jay, I found something very interesting on the internet. I said, what is it? It's called YouTube. I said, YouTube? Yes, have you heard of this? I said, yeah. He said, I could write a script. I could hire some actors. I could make a short movie. Mm-hmm. What do you think? And I could tell he was looking for my approval.
Wow.
And I said, I think that's an awesome idea. Pooba, that's what I call them. Go do your thing. And he started shooting short videos in his apartment and hiring actors. And he now has a bunch of short videos on YouTube. He's got 15 million views of his videos.
Stop it, he started it at 80.
At 80.
Oh my goodness.
He's 91 now. And he's still doing it.
That is so amazing.
He gets actresses and actors coming from Florida to be in his little videos.
Wow.
So age is irrelevant. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can start at any age. And this idea, I read people, they're retiring at 60. He's starting at 80. I'm starting, my real career started at 55. Wow. So there's no age barrier. It's in your mind. And people who tell you that there's an age thing, you have to do this at this age, that's just their belief.
Mm-hmm.
They've been told that, so they pass it on to you. They've failed in what they're doing, so they're going to teach you that you should fail. And it's just a consideration. It's just a belief.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a spectacular takeaway. And you know, I don't know if you've looked at this or thought about it, but he probably did it because he saw you taking away and shedding that mold. And if you hadn't taken that path, it's very likely your dad would not have done what he did.
I never considered that. That's really interesting, Aaron. You might be right.
It's an example.
Yeah.
You set an example. You are going to make it happen what you love, and you're going to go make money at it.
The power of example.
So, I mean, if you hadn't thought about it.
I mean, look at you. When you do the numbers you do, other sellers go, you know, if Aaron can do this, maybe I can do it.
That's right.
So you kind of influence people, not by what you say, not just by what you say, but by the example that you set.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Beautiful.
Okay, so you have this, your thing business had crashed. You have a tiny bit of money. You have your dad's approval now. What's next? So from that's late 20s, and you said your real career started at 55. So, whoa, that's a long time.
Well, something happened. Up until that point, I was buying toys from other people, like buying the hand from other people and figuring out creative ways to market them.
Mm-hmm. Which is short-term business.
Right.
Because it's always someone, you're promoting their thing, literally.
Yeah, right, their thing.
As opposed to your own, right?
Yes.
Which is, again, this is the reselling versus the private label, right? So is that where we're getting into here?
Yeah, I want to talk of the first time back in, it was 1995, and I was married. And I had a daughter who was 3 years old, and I had another one who was on the way.
Mm-hmm.
My wife at the time was pregnant with our second daughter. We're living in New Jersey. And again, of course, I've tried a bunch of different things. And sometimes you get married and you just fail and you fail and you fail. And my wife was very supportive. She would, whatever crazy idea I had, she would go, okay. And I remember my mother-in-law took me aside and said, you know, she wouldn't want her daughter to hear this.
Yeah.
You're a nice man, but you have all these crazy ideas and they don't work.
Hmm.
Jay, you're not a businessman. Now, don't get angry at me, but maybe you should get a job at McDonald's. There's no shame in McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
You can eventually become a manager. You could learn a skill. And I think that was my lowest point. I was broke, I had two kids, we had no money. And I'm like, wow, that's what people think of me. They think I should work at McDonald's. Nothing wrong with McDonald's, but that wasn't my purpose.
Right.
Flipping burgers is your purpose. By all means, go for it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, it was a crisis moment for me. Am I really cut out to do this?
Mm.
Should I really be selling toys? They're so silly. And everybody's telling you, why are you doing this? You know, there's always people around. 90% of the people around you will tell you that what you're doing is a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all the reasons, and they give you logic and reality.
Mm-hmm.
And logic and reality are very powerful, especially when you're feeling very low.
Yeah.
About that time, I had an idea. I found this ball. It was this motorized ball, and it was off-centered, and there was a battery, and it moved around in jerky motions.
Mm-hmm.
And you see them a lot in cat toys right now. But at that point, no one had ever heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this ball, and I put it in a potato chip bag, mm-hmm. and I saw it moving in the bag. I said, it looks like something's inside mm-hmm. eating out of the bag. Mm-hmm. I wonder if I took a raccoon tail and I attached it to the bag, like it was coming out, if it would look like a raccoon was eating out of the bag. And it looked like it. And I thought, wow, I could get these balls. I could go down to the garment district in New York City where they sell the furs. I can buy raccoon tails. And I can find the potato chip manufacturer and get empty bags. And I went to my wife and I said, honey, I have another idea. And she went, Jay, we have no more money. Mm-hmm. I said, how much do we have? She goes, literally, we have $3,000 left to our name.
With two children.
With two, mm-hmm. one pregnant with one. Yeah, yeah, so yeah. She can't work at this point because she's 8 or 9 months pregnant. Wow. And one is, you know, three, you know how expensive yep. kids are. Yep. And we have to pay rent. And I said, I really believe this idea will work. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know what? If you believe that strongly, let's give you the money. And I'm thinking, boy, I better perform here.
Pressure. Diamonds come from pressure. They come yes. from pressure. This is a time. And I tell people, like, kids will bring this out of you because you have no choice.
So true. Yes. Kids will make you do crazy things exactly. because you have to. You can't survive on a regular salary. Mm-hmm. So I buy the raccoon tails. I find a potato chip bag manufacturer. He makes potato chip bags. I said, I'll promote your bag in my toy. And I just let him know that I'm a big shot. And he believed me. I was a street vendor. He said, how many do you need? I said, give me, you know, whatever. And I bought these empty bags. And then I got a bunch of these balls. And I went down to my old haunting grounds, New York City, uh-huh. right in front of the New York Stock Exchange. And I put a blanket out. And I put these raccoons in a bag out, and they started moving around. It looked like the tail's wiggling, the bag is moving and jerking. It looks like there are raccoons eating out of the bag. And crowds of people gather around. I'm going, yes, thank God, this is going to be successful. Uh-huh. And they're pointing at it, and then they walk away. Crowds and walk away. I was there 6 hours, and I didn't sell one. And at that moment, I thought, I wish I could curse right now. Uh-huh. You idiot. You took your family's last bit of money. You have no money for rent. Mm-hmm. And you bought raccoon tails and potato chips? Are you an idiot? Are you stupid? Mm-hmm. Like, I go, my mother-in-law was right. I deserve to work in McDonald's or drive a cab. I'm getting out of the toy business because I don't belong here. I'm ashamed of myself. I feel like crying as I'm telling you this because the idea that I did this to my family, mm-hmm. how am I going to get food for my kids? And my wife can't work because she's so pregnant. And I packed my bags up. I put my raccoons in a bag in my duff. I have this duffel bag and I put them all in there. And I start walking away completely defeated. Wow. That was my new low mm-hmm. of my life. And as I'm walking away, I feel a tap on my shoulder. And I turn around, and it's this well-dressed woman who worked in the Wall Street area. She says, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. She said, what makes you think that you could sell wild animals in New York City?
She thought it was the real raccoon.
Yeah. I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, you're selling raccoons. They could have rabies. They could be feral. And we can't even keep cats and dogs in our apartments here. Who's going to buy a raccoon?
Oh, no.
And I said, wait, do you think these are real? She goes, yeah, aren't they? I said, no. I took the ball out of the bag. I said, they're toys. Fool your friends. Prank your dog. Entertain your cat. They're just fun. And she said, look at that. How much are they? I said, $10 each. She goes, I'll take two. And that was my first sale. Wow. And I thought, could it be that all these people who walked away thought that these were real raccoons? So I said, give it another shot. I put them all out again. I said, and I changed my marketing strategy mm-hmm. at that point, my pitch. instead of saying, get your raccoons, like the hands, they're like pretending they're real. They're not real. They're just toys. Fool your friends, entertain your dog, prank your cat, have a lot of fun, get your raccoons, but they're not real. Come on over. And this time I got the crowds again, and they bought. And again, I think it was like 45 minutes, everything was gone.
Wow.
It was all gone.
Oh, that lady. Oh, that lady really changed your life.
Changed my life. Because at that point, I then started making more of these raccoons, and small stores started asking if they could have them. And then I started wholesaling.
Did you brand it at all? Did you have any name?
It was called the Hungry Raccoon in the Bag.
Hungry Raccoon in the Bag. Okay.
Yeah, but there was
you didn't do like a trademark.
No trademark. Right? I didn't know anything about that at that point. Yeah, and I had relatives, and yeah, I was a street vendor. I had relatives, friends, all in the basement of my house, putting these raccoons together so I could wholesale them, and that led me into my toy career. But I think back, just like you said, what if I had not gotten that tap on my back? Where would I be right now?
Wow.
And it taught me a very valuable lesson. One is, when you prospect for gold in mountains or in caves, the veins are very narrow. And you could be an inch to the right or an inch to the left, and you could miss that gold.
Mm-hmm.
If you make a slight change, you get the gold.
Yes.
I made a slight change to my pitch. I was so close and I didn't know it. Yeah. And a lot of times, Amazon sellers and people in business are so close. They just have to change a couple of small things, and they become successful. Even now, we see it in our listings.
All the time. Right. People get 80% there, 90% there. Even if you get 95% there, but you don't pass, you don't get better than, say, the third seller, you get no sales. Right. You do 95% of the work, and you get 1% of the results. Right. Because you didn't get that 1 inch to the left or to the right of the gold. You didn't get that tap on the shoulder, change your angle, change your marketing. But you did everything else. You're so close. I see it.
You're so close.
So often. And people are like, oh, I'm giving up. And you have other reasons, yeah. Right? You have wrong reasons.
Wrong reasons.
The wrong whys. You don't have the it. Where your mother-in-law said, you're not made for this, right?
Right.
Said, you're not cut out for it. You should get a real job. And you're telling yourself, you're dumb. You're telling yourself, how did I do this? All those are the wrong things. The real one was, hey, my angle was just a tiny bit off,
yeah.
And I was this close to a massive. I mean, now you're employing your family.
Yes.
Did your mother-in-law pack any raccoons?
Years later, when I was successful,
yeah.
She never did raccoons. She said she actually, you know, when my daughters would say, you know, I don't want to go to college because she would promote, and well, my dad didn't go to college. She goes, listen, your dad is the exception to the rule. Not everybody's like him, which is not true. But at that point of realizing it's one small thing, even on Amazon, if your thumbnail image, when you're searching for keywords, if that thumbnail image is off and people, you're not going to get the conversion.
Absolutely.
You're not going to get
the difference from not profitable to be profitable.
Yeah, just even getting that click through to your listing, changing one little image. It's always the little changes that can result in some big results.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my foray. That was my entry into toys. And I started making these raccoons and I was wholesaling. And then I wholesaled for the next, you know, years after that. And was.
Wait, did you make more than your lawyer friends?
I think I did.
Yeah.
I think I did. And I had a lot of fun. I work with movie producers and directors creating figures from movies. I was licensing products from Disney. We were doing tens of millions of dollars.
Wow.
All starting from being on the street.
Wow. From zero sales, right?
From zero sales.
But you have the crowd, and that's, I think there's another power there, is the ability to draw the crowd, first step, then the ability to sell, right? Because that's the steps. You get the attention, and then you get the money.
Right.
So you were, again, almost there. That's spectacular. And I know your toys have been in movies, but did you start, this has not existed. I've seen these cat toys all the time, the raccoon tails. You created this. This did not exist before you. You are the original creator of a trend worldwide, people all across the world. with funny raccoon cat tails, whatever tails all around. You are the inventor. You are the creator, fully.
Yeah, there's a company, the DY Toys, mm-hmm. which made the original Weasel Ball. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've told everybody mm-hmm. seen the Weasel Ball.
Yeah, the Weasel Ball, yes.
Yeah, that was based, the guy that I was buying the balls from, uh-huh. he sent them my idea and said, you got to make something like with this. And they made it. And he actually presented to me. He said, we came out with this DY toy. It's if you look in the packaging today, you'll see DY Toys. And it was in China. And he said, do you want to buy from us? I said, this is my idea. And he said, I know, but you know, we refined it a little bit. And I said, but this is really what I can. Mm-hmm. So I was too young to protect myself and mm-hmm. to do anything. But again, we'll go into this later. When you can create your own products, there's no remorse because there's a million things you can create. Mm-hmm. Why regret something that mm-hmm. somebody took from you? Mm-hmm. Just forget about it. It's in the past. Create into the future and make something better.
Yes.
Yeah. And in this was really great, this whole thing I was doing. But at a certain point, you've sold to Walmart and Target, and I was selling to Walmart and Target and CVS and Walgreens. Spencer Gifts said we had the best-selling product line in their store ever.
Wow. The raccoon and the raccoon and the ball.
No,
in the bag.
It was another product. Oh, another product line, yeah.
Okay. But wait, you're leaving me in the dark.
Because I got in a lot of trouble making this.
Oh, okay.
It was like...
Is it like a sexual thing?
No, it wasn't sexual. Oh. It was like, there was just these toys that you hit their heads and they say funny things, but they were characters. And it offended a few people. And I realized that my humor sometimes could be, you know, taken the wrong way.
Sure.
But one of them actually ended up in Eddie Murphy movie, one of these dolls.
Really?
I'll tell you off camera.
Okay.
At a certain point, I was making these toys because I love them. Mm-hmm. But big buyers, I don't know if you know, but some of your listeners may not be aware, that when you get a product into Walmart, there are category buyers. And these category buyers, it's one or two people, and they bring it to a committee. But they determine if your product goes into all the stores.
Yep.
Now, you may know your product's a winner. But if they say they don't think so, it's
You're
not
doomed.
Going into Walmart.
Yeah, 100%.
You're doomed. I started making my products for the buyers.
Oh.
As opposed for the consumers and for me. Mm. So what are they going to like?
Mm.
And at that point, I was no longer making things because I loved it. Mm-hmm. I was making it for money.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost my purpose.
And for the gatekeeper, which might have been a serious person or it might have been, who knows, like that buyer, maybe they like something strange or whatever.
Yeah, I knew I would.
So what's the difference? What would be the difference making for a buyer than like the customer? Because they're both a person. So like, can you give me like a concrete thing that was like for a buyer versus for...
Yeah, if I show, for example, if I make a Napoleon Dynamite talking pen.
Yeah.
And Napoleon Dynamite.
I hated it. I didn't hate it. I'll take that word back. But I never understood Napoleon Dynamite.
Personally. A lot of people. And
I could have been the buyer.
Yeah, a lot of buyer. Exactly. You nailed it right in the head, Aaron. I knew that this was going to be huge.
Mm.
And I went to Fox. And I said, hey, I want to license Napoleon Dynamite. And he had just left the theaters. And they thought, like, he's crazy.
Uh-huh.
You don't license a product after it's left the theaters. At that point, no one understood video DVD mm-hmm. rentals. And I licensed it for $5,000, which was nothing.
Not even a royalty, just one-time fee?
$5,000, and it was like a small royalty.
Okay.
But they thought, what's he going to do with this? I said, I want to make a talking pen, and I want to make a figure. They go for it. And they thought I was stupid.
Yeah.
And I approached buyers who also thought, like,
I got it.
But that product, when it hit DVD, became the top selling DVD. It became a cult classic.
Yes.
I made more money on that product than anything else I'd ever done.
Wow. And no buyers would take it though.
No, I a lot of it was online. I did online, but eventually we did get it into Walmart. Walmart did take it.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually all the stores took it. But, you know, in the beginning, so I have ideas where that was an obvious thing for them. They see it, that the people love it. But I have ideas that people can't see the vision on it.
I got you.
And I stopped producing those ideas. And I started producing mm-hmm. ideas that I know, okay, this is safe. They're conservative. Mm-hmm. They're not going to lose their job as a buyer by buying this.
You're thinking inside the box instead of inside the bag. Like the raccoon.
That's really good, Aaron. I love that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, so, wow. So you sold a bunch of Napoleon Dynamite stuff, and then the thing to Walmart, you started catering to the buyer, and then your Walmart stuff dropped off, and then at some point now, then...
So fast forward, I'm 55.
Okay, so this, but that didn't happen. The pens, things went down. The other stuff has gone down now.
It's over a course of years now.
Yeah.
Of lots of success, making tens of millions of dollars, and then gradually producing products that I think the buyers will like, but mm-hmm. that I know the customers aren't going to like.
Yeah.
And then losing my purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
Losing my thing.
Yeah, becoming kind of the corporate whatever.
Yeah.
Thing.
I became, I was creating stuff that I didn't believe in anymore, and I lost my motivation.
Wow.
And at the age of 55, the products weren't selling in stores because they weren't things that I knew
to sell. The original was so out of the box, right? Out of the bag, just unbelievable. And then they kind of got flat. What was like your worst product launch that you felt like, wow, I really should have never done that. It was for the buyer. Do you have an idea? I'm just curious. Mm. Like, what was something that, you know, didn't work?
I did a line of products called Spice Mice,
mm-hmm.
which was a bunch of talking mice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it could have done well, but I didn't know how to manufacture them cheaply. The characters, I didn't know who my target market was. I was just mm-hmm. making whatever.
Oh, instead of like for kids or instead of for whatever, teenagers
Yeah. And those failed.
Okay.
I was broke at the end of that one. It's like it's always up and down in our business, right? You're always making money and losing money.
Wow. Okay, so now fast forward 55, and did you ever take a normal job or what? Okay, so
never.
You had enough, even though your business is going down, you could support your family because you'd done such huge success, but things are petering out.
Things are done. I'm basically, everybody's advising me to declare bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
I have no money. Everybody in my company either quits or I have to fire them.
Okay.
I closed down my warehouse. I had a big warehouse right in this area, actually,
on
49th Street. Well, that was, No, that was other end.
Okay.
I was broke. And at the age of 55, I'm working out of my house mm-hmm. in a little room. And there's only one girl who stayed with me. Her name is Beth.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out about Amazon, amazing selling machine.
Yeah.
So I try the normal way of doing products, which is you look for products that are selling well on Amazon, you make your own brand, you put your name on it, make some slight improvements, and then you sell it more effectively than your competition.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work for me.
Right.
Halloween night, 2015, I'm so depressed and broke and 55. When you're young, you feel like maybe you can bounce back.
Uh-huh.
But when you're 55, and you see people and your body's not doing well, and you see people around you who are retiring, and you get the idea.
Yeah, you're it's like the mold is coming over you. You're getting, it's the conforming, right? It's the, you look around and you didn't see that example, and you saw the opposite. You saw the examples of what you didn't want to be.
Right.
But you don't have that much options, you feel like, right?
I don't have it, and I don't have the energy I used to have. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything, and I'm broke.
I think things have changed since then.
Oh, yeah.
You seem like you have a ton of energy now.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Okay.
It's Halloween night, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have enough money to buy candy.
Mm-hmm.
So I turn off all the lights in my office and my living room so that the kids can't see that somebody's home.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't want them ringing my doorbell because I can't afford candy.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there thinking, boy, Jay, you really are pathetic.
Oh, God.
This is pathetic. I was talking to somebody, and I don't know who it was, and the guy, I don't want to give his name, but he said to me, why did you get into this business? Why did you do this?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to think back to when I was young and the whole hand and all the different things, and my purpose got revived.
Right.
My purpose that had been buried suddenly came out again.
To make people smile again.
Yeah, exactly. To make people smile, to make people laugh. That was my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2015, I said, well, how do I do that? Who's getting a lot of attention right now? I'm going to make a toy. I felt energetic. I'm going to make a toy. And I decided to make, I looked around and Donald Trump was getting a lot of publicity at
mm-hmm,
that point
mm-hmm.
because it was the election.
Yeah.
So I made, it took me 6 months to make it, but I made a Donald Trump talking pen. And this is it over here.
Yeah.
And I already know some of your listeners who hate Trump are going to go, oh, he's a Trumpster. And some of the people who love Trump are going to go, oh, he hates Trump. I want to just say, it says right here, laugh with or at Donald.
There you go.
Right?
You can do either.
Either. It's for, it's just to make people smile. It wasn't to make a political point. I just wanted to make people laugh.
Yeah. We're gonna let's play some of these. Is it gonna see them work on the microphone?
I will be the greatest president that God ever created.
There you go. Let's see one more.
Look, I'm really rich.
One more.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall.
So this pen, you have no money, but you invest into this. You get into. You'd never made a pen before.
I made a regular pen.
Not a talking pen.
I made a talking pen, but not with a head on it.
Mm.
That was a new concept.
Okay.
But I had the experience of making the Napoleon Dynamite pen years ago. But this was a brand new concept. It took me 6 months to make it, you know, to design it, to design the head and to make it in China. And in May, I released it and I sold it on, I promoted it on Facebook and on YouTube and sent it to the media. I got the biggest toy distributor in the country, somebody I'd known from years back. I said, do me a favor, just bring it to the toy fairs. I know this will sell for you. He brings it to the toy fairs. That's like I said, May. He sells it in every toy fair in New York. He has a big stand. He's selling these pens. And by October, I had sold maybe a dozen pens. And he comes back to me and says,
a dozen pens?
Like, on Amazon.
Oh, 12. Okay, on Amazon.
Yeah.
But you sold a lot more. In the fairs and all that stuff.
Well, I gave it to him on consignment.
Okay.
And I said, you know, take these pens on the consignment. You know, and he says, okay. Comes to me in October. It was the middle of October, 2016. So a year has gone by.
Yep.
He says, Jay, I've never seen this happen before. I said, what? He said, this is incredible. I said, what happened? He said, everybody I show this pen to hates it.
What?
Yeah. He said, they want to know, who's the idiot who made this pen? I didn't want to tell him it was you, Jay.
Yeah.
Not that they would even know who I am. Like, who's Jay?
Uh-huh.
I said, well, all right, but did you sell any? He goes, no.
Zero?
Zero. Sold nothing.
Zero pens?
No store wanted this pen.
Oh, because he's not pitching to, there's no customer. It's buyers.
Buyers.
Of course, because at that point, the popularity, the thing, it's like taboo. Again, you have the gatekeeper. You're running into the same situation.
Exactly.
You have the gatekeeper who doesn't want to buy it.
Right.
The Walmarts, the blah, the CVSs, the whatever. Now, again, nothing wrong with those stores, but it's a person, and they're not checking with the customer that wants to buy it.
Exactly.
So you sold a dozen online and nothing to stores.
Nothing to stores.
Okay.
Nothing. And again, I'm used to these feelings of self... of self-doubt and self-condemnation, telling myself I'm stupid. I do that really well. I still do it, you know? I'm sure people can relate to what I'm saying. So
those feelings are on hyperdrive.
They're in hyperdrive now because it's like all the previous failures get kind of keyed in there and you're like, oh, shit. Like, and I said to him, and I'm desperate again because, I have no money. I'm 55.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds like the same story, but I keep getting myself into the same predicament.
Wow.
I said, the pens cost me $2 to make.
Mm-hmm.
And he was gonna give me like $2.50 or $3, like a little bit of, can I just sell them to you at my cost? He said, no. I said, how about $1? Just so I can pay my rent this month. I'm living, I have no money, I have no property, I have no cars, I have no IRA, I have no 401k. I'm paying rent month to month. I'm in huge debt. I have no money. I just to give you the picture of this right now.
Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't even have a helping hand.
Good time. Good callback. I love that. I said, how about $1? Just so I can pay for expenses. He said, Jay, I'm going to be totally honest with you. Even if you paid me to take these, I wouldn't take them.
Wow.
So he gave me back all the pens. Mm-hmm. I think it was like 20,000 pens. He gave them all back to me. And it was the middle of October. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to just start giving these away to people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love these pens. Mm-hmm. I think they're funny. Just like my purpose, I still had that energy because it was my purpose.
Yeah.
It wasn't a product like Walmart you fail, you give up.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I love this. This is like a baby for me.
Yeah.
It's like a child.
Yeah.
You don't give up on your child. Yeah. You keep going.
Yeah.
So I just started promoting on Facebook and Twitter, who wants pens? If you like Trump or you don't like Trump, here's a talking pen. And I just started shipping to people I meet in stores, people I meet you know, my travels, anybody.
Getting it out.
Just getting it out there. Promotion, getting it out and putting it in there and out there in the universe. It has this effect when you start a flow. You're not stuck. Mm-hmm. It's like you become a river instead mm-hmm. of a stagnant yeah. puddle. Mm-hmm. You're flowing. Mm-hmm. And I need to flow. I need to flow this out there. That was middle of October. Maybe it was the first week of October. October 31st, I'm still broke. Mm-hmm. Still haven't sold anything on Amazon. My son-in-law calls me. It's Halloween night. Mm-hmm. No joke. Like I said, this is 1 year.
1 year
to the day. Halloween night. I'm walking my dog. His name is Izzy. He's a multi-poo, just to give you the picture of what's going on. It's about 9:15, 9:30. And my son-in-law calls me up and he says, "Oh my God, do you see what's happening on TV right now?" I said, "What's happening on TV?" He said, "Sean Hannity is playing your Trump pen on TV right now." And I, for those of you who don't know Trump Hannity, he's like one of the biggest conservative TV talk show hosts on Fox News.
That's like how many millions of views, do you know? That's yeah. like, you know, yeah. millions and millions of people watching live.
Exactly. I said, "What?" He goes, "Yeah." So I rush home and there he is playing my pen for every guest. If they say something wrong about Trump or bad about Trump, he plays Trump's voice and, you know, mocks them.
Yeah.
And at the end of the show, he says, "Who made this pen? I don't know who made it." He goes, my phone, I think he said, "My phone is blowing up. Everybody in America wants this pen."
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, I wonder if I sold any on Amazon. So I go downstairs to my computer and I go, "Let's type in." And up to this point, I'd sold nothing. And I had done, in that hour, $10,000 in sales. Wow. And I think we were selling them at $12.95. Mm-hmm. I said, "Wow, that's great. I'm going to raise the price." So we raised it to $15.95. And I kept incrementally raising it as I saw the sales come in. Yeah. The next day, we did $54,000 in sales. Wow. One product. And now I'm at $24.95. The third day, we did $167,000 in sales.
Whoop!
One day.
Wow.
And people now, and I have screenshots because nobody believes me when I say this. I have screenshots of people trying to sell them on eBay for $1,000.
No.
I'm going, this is crazy.
It's like, did you ever make a limited edition? Or, you know, that's what I mean, I think about this and I go, you could have a $1,000 one.
I could.
Made out of pure metal or something. I don't know.
Yeah, this went from zero this went from zero to 164,000 in like 3 days.
Wow.
And just when I think it can't get any better, another friend calls me up and says, "Jay, do you know they're showing your pen on The View right now? You know, Whoopi Goldberg show, they're showing my pen. They're playing with the pen." I'm like, holy crap. It's on the biggest Republican TV show and the biggest Democrat TV show. They're both talking about the pen. They're both, and they're all laughing. So nobody agreed on anything except the fact that they thought this pen was funny. Eventually, this pen became the number one best-selling toy on Amazon.
Wow.
In the toy category.
Mm-hmm.
It did close to $1 million in sales in about a month.
Wow.
And
incredible.
And that got me out of everything. And of course, the manufacturer, the toy distributor, calls me up during this and he said, "Hey Jay, you know, do you have any more of those pens?" I said, "Why?" He goes, "Suddenly everybody's calling me for those pens." He goes, I think I can sell them for you. If you need to get rid of them, I can sell them for you."
The guy that was buying it for $2.
Right. I said, So you think you can sell them now?" He goes, Yeah, I'll take them off your hands." I said, "They're gone. They're all sold out." And he's like, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, I've got orders. I'm trying to get back order. At that point, you can give a 3 week waiting list while you make more in the factory." But that took me out of poverty. And I said, "You know what? Now that I'm on Amazon, I'm always going to create my own products. I'm not going to go through any gatekeepers anymore.
No more gatekeepers. To hell with the gatekeepers.
To hell with the gatekeepers. Right. To hell with the gatekeepers. And I'm going to do what's my purpose from now on. I'm not going to do anything for anybody else." And that's what I've done for the last 7 years. And we're doing, you know, $7-8 million a year just on original products that I've created.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That is honestly, wow. Wow. And all from, oh, God. Everybody rejecting you. all the gatekeepers think, no way, but you had something that hit, and it hit so big.
Right.
And yeah, Sean Hannity's big. The View, huge. Both these are huge. All over. Both sides, like you said. Laugh with them. Laugh at them. Laugh whoever. The Thing. And then, actually, I have this here.
Oh, before you, I want to tell you that. Regarding that pen, it was the same thing as the raccoon, somebody tapping me on my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, when he said no, I could have walked away.
Yeah.
But the lesson I learned, one of the lessons I learned from the raccoon story is that you can't rely on somebody else to tap you on your shoulder. You have to be the one. Yeah. You have to be the one tapping yourself on the shoulder and say, don't stop. Keep going. What small change can you make here? And I'm giving them away. It ended up in somebody's hand who gave it to a guest on Sean Hannity's show. And it was the guest who gave it to Sean Hannity. And Sean Hannity said, where did you get this? He goes, just somebody, a Trump fan gave it to me. So somebody I gave it to gave it to this guy who gave it to Sean Hannity. The universe works in such crazy ways when you're following your purpose, when you're doing your thing, when you're making those small changes, and when you keep going, you don't stop, you keep persisting. If you don't stop and you keep persisting, you keep knocking on that door, the universe opens up for you and gives you what you want in a lot of cases if you just keep going.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, a real, real story of persistence. That is spectacular.
Thank you, Aaron.
And so now you go, you're going to create all these products. And I saw this. I actually had seen Reacher.
Yeah.
And on Reacher, which, you know, obviously there was a movie, Jack Reacher, and then they had the series Reacher. But yeah. They play this little Mr. Predicto ball. And I know you had sold it. We were actually going to represent you with this. Anyway, whatever. So we had this product and I knew about it. And they played in the show. And I go, Jay is so famous. You have products everywhere. I mean, you got biggest TV shows. You got humongous talk shows. You got all over people are talking about your stuff that did not exist, right? This would have been a different plot. I don't know what they would have done. But your toys are getting huge attention. And in fact, I have this one of these poops. And I have it sitting in my office. This is like a little poop emoji looking thing. And I leave it in my office on the table.
It farts.
It's a great farter. But I leave it on my table, and whenever I put like a book down, and it farts, and it just lightens up the conversation. I have it in my office desk. If anybody comes to the office and you put the thing down, it'll fart.
That poop emoji ended up on the cover of Vogue magazine.
What?
Yes. And that's what I'm saying. It's like people, anybody listening to us right now can create their own products.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a course to sell anybody, but I just have a formula that I've used again and again and again to create products. It's very simple. Everybody should be doing this.
So what's the formula?
Okay. The first thing, I know somebody who's hearing me say, you can create your own products, like it's simple. They're going to say, oh, Jay, you're creative. You know how to do this, but I'm not you. I'm not Elon Musk. I'm not Thomas Edison. But that's because they don't have a workable definition of the word creation or creativity.
Okay.
I want to give you a workable definition of that. Okay. Creativity is basically taking two old ideas or products and combining them into one new product.
Mm.
You take two old things and make them into one new thing. And that's what I did with this pen.
Mm-hmm.
Bobblehead, been around since the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
Talking pen, I saw talking pen in the 1990s before I did it. I just combined those two things, a bobblehead and a pen, and I came out with that. This
predictable. What's that? That's the 8-ball.
The 8-ball. Well, I'll tell you that second, but the next thing I did was this. And people said, yeah, you can do politics. By the way, when you succeed, there are going to be people there who tell you, oh, you got lucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jay, you got lucky with Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. You hit the right place, the right time. That's all right. Let me look around. I look on keyword search. You look at search terms and you see, what are people searching for? And I saw people were searching for poop emoji. Like 50,000 searches for poop emoji.
What are the results?
You put like the results in. The results are dolls like this,
uh-huh.
But there are 100 of them. Why? Because people copy everybody else. One person sees an item, they go to China, they put their own label on it, they sell it. Mm-hmm. You got 100 people doing that, mm-hmm. So you have 100 people selling poop emojis.
Mm-hmm.
There's no original thought out there. There's nobody, and so you are going to end up with lots of competition.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, two old products. I thought, this is an old product because it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
What about a fart machine? Fart machines have been around since I've been a kid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What if I combine this? People love fart machines. They love these. What if I put them together?
Oh.
I put fart sounds in this, and then I got this. And again, this ended up on the cover of Vogue. It's a huge seller for us.
Wow.
And to answer your question about Mr. Predicto, of course, people after the poop emoji said, well, yeah, Jay, you can do politics and you can do poop, which I sometimes are the same thing.
Maybe the naysayers help you, though.
Yeah, right.
They tell you that you can't do it, and you're like, I am going to do it.
It's true. I guess right? There's a little bit of that, yeah.
And you push.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And the politics and poop, sometimes they're the same thing, basically. Right,
right.
But they go, yeah, you can do vulgar stuff and you can do political stuff. But that's, and people were actually saying this to me. I said, you know what, let me take a classic toy. And I looked on the third way of finding out what's popular. One way is by looking at search terms. Mm-hmm. One way is by looking at what's happening in the news. Trump was the news. This poop emoji was search terms. Mm-hmm. And the third way was looking at the bestseller lists. Mm-hmm. And I looked at bestseller lists for toys. And I saw that, remember the Magic 8-Ball?
Yeah.
Okay. The Magic 8-Ball was developed, I think it was like 1952 or 1953. It's been around 70 years. Nobody has updated that goddamn mm-hmm, thing. It's mm-hmm. been like, you have to read it. You say, Mr. Magic 8-Ball, will I, yeah, you know, whatever. Yeah. And it reads it. And I go, but talking toys and light-up toys have been around for 50 years also. How come nobody ever put them together? Mm. So I took those two, put them together, and created Mr. Predicto. I got somebody to do the voice. And we made a random IC chip, which was a random. And again, I don't know how to do any of this stuff, but I find people who do. Mm-hmm. And we made Mr. Predicto. And that became a huge seller for us. It's Halloween. It's the number one fortune-telling toy for Halloween, every Halloween. And it does great for us for Christmas.
And I love that you named it. Because, you know, if you would have said, like, I don't know, something else, predicting ball, then everyone would have copied it and you would have been out. But now... it's Mr. Predicto.
Exactly.
The branding is so important, and it's, I think you've done a fantastic job with this. And I don't think, you brought it. Is it done?
Are people going to enjoy this interview?
The answer cannot be found at this moment.
Because it's not out yet.
You know what? That's right.
Hey, I mean, that thing is smart. The episode is not out, so how could he know?
That is, you know? Absolutely right. There you go. See how smart Mr. Predicto is? We use that to predict the sex of my first grandchild.
Was it right?
My son-in-law was like, oh, that thing doesn't work. I said, well, ask it. Are we going to have a boy or girl? He goes, am I going to have a girl? And it says, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And then he goes, yeah, but, you know, just rephrase the question. He goes, am I going to have a boy? And he goes, the answer is definitely no. And our first grandkid was a girl.
Wow. See, so, I mean, hey, and it's fun, right? You get to be able to laugh, smile, talk, and whatever. I think it's brilliant, all of your creations. And I know you're up to a lot of things now. And I mean, I'll tell you, I want to kind of wrap this up with a story. And the naysayers, they're everywhere. And, you know, every one of us, somewhere inside, we have a little bit of both. You know, we ourselves are doubtful and have things that we doubt. Like you said, yourself, you were your own naysayer back in the day, and there was others, but all of us have a mix. And I will tell you, the reason I'm saying that is because the first time I ever saw you, it was at SellerCon.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It was at SellerCon. And
what year was that?
2016, maybe? 2017?
Somewhere around, yeah, 15, 16, yeah.
It could have been 15 too. Yeah. It might have been 15 because that was probably my first one ever, and I had bought I bought it April 15, and then I think the conference is June, July. Anyway, yeah. And I go up and I'm there and I'm sitting in the crowd. It's a huge crowd, right? Everybody's thinking, hey, we can sell on Amazon. You go on stage. So at that point you're, I guess, maybe 56, 57.
Yeah.
Right? You're wearing a kilt.
That's right, I was.
You're wearing a kilt, okay? You have like hairy legs, the long socks, a skirt, right? Or a
hairy
kilt, right?
Legs.
And you're coming on stage and they're like, there's Jay Cammy. And I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Right? And it was interesting because you went up and the interview, it was a really interesting interview. And I don't even remember, you talk about the hands, you talk about this. And I'm like, this guy, who is this dude? You know, he and I had all these naysayer things. I'm like, this guy, no way. And like, it kind of broke my thought process of what are you supposed to look like if you're going to make it? Because I kind of thought, you know, these young people, e-commerce, whatever. And I saw you up there and I go, there is no way in hell that this guy is going to make it and I'm not going to make it. I said, there's no way. If he can make it, anyone can make it. And in a way, it was a bit of a
I don't know if I've been insulted or complimented, but thank you.
No, I was thinking critically, right? And it was kind of an insult, right? I was a naysayer, but it shifted my view, and I go, there's no excuse. And I know that again. It's like, I feel bad saying it.
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
But that's the thing. And you could be lifted up in terms of like a sort of fun way, like, oh, you can do what I did. Or it could be in that you might need that kind of upsetness to lift you up, right? The military or what, in other scenarios, you're like, you're going. And that was a bit of a military call for me.
Wow.
Because I said, and that's why you hear stories of, okay, Colonel Sanders or whoever, they started started the chicken at 70.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, you can do it too, you know? And it could be like uplifting in that way. But for me, it was more like a fire in my ass.
Right.
Uplifting in another way, like, there's no way this guy is going to do more than me. Like, no. And so anyway, I say that story because we all have that naysayer inside of us,
yeah,
and there's those things, but what are you going to do with it, right? Am I going to say, well, this is, you know, you could take that and you could flip it so many ways. Oh, well, this is really a scam, this fake, blah. Again, you're right, your mind can do so many things.
Right.
But I'm so glad that I saw you up there that day, and then I got to meet you later, right? We actually live in the same town.
Yeah.
Same city. And it's amazing. Honestly, spectacular. And my uncle started Amazon recently, right?
Oh.
He's selling like cat stuff.
Wow.
And again, he's older. And it's like, who cares? You're the servant. Anyway, I just want to say, I wanted to give that. I don't think I've told you that before.
No, I never knew that. That's right? Great. I love that.
But I saw you up there and I go, who is this dude? You know what I mean? Selling hands. I think, were you homeless at some point? Selling hands or something like that, or no?
Yeah, I was.
You were homeless. Yeah. I think you told that story.
Yeah, I was. I was there. Yeah.
So and we didn't go into that in the story, but you were single at that point, I'm assuming.
Oh yeah.
So you're literally living, but like on the streets.
I had a couple of days on the subway. I would jump from place to place. I wherever I could find a place to crash, I would do that.
And that was in that story. I think you talked about it on stage, and I go, this guy. Homeless guy, and I it was like, that's it. Like anybody, I guarantee you, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
Right. And I tell that about me. Like I had very little friends. I had, I didn't talk to anybody. Super introvert in school. I had everything wrong going for me. I had like, sort of. And I know people say it's an advantage. Like if you're in the rich family or whatever. Like my mom was upper middle class, I would say. And in fact, I think in a lot of cases, it gets a disadvantage.
Yeah.
Because things were solved for me. I didn't need to make money to help my family. I didn't need to do a lot of these things. And so that put me in a scenario where I had no drive, no motivation, no whatever. When I see other people are like, hey, I had to help my mom. I mean, it's a disadvantage or an advantage. It's all the way you look at it.
Right.
And so there's people of all sort of no money, raised with money, old, young, whoever you are, you can make money doing this, and you do not have to have the social skill of convincing a gatekeeper how to sell. That is a key point about Amazon, because I have an idea, I can check with the customer and see that they want to buy it directly and nobody's in your way. That's what I think is a key to Amazon, why it's so successful, because you would not have had all this success really any other way.
There would be no way, because it was really, Amazon was like the new streets for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like going in the street and dealing with the people, I couldn't do that before. Amazon lets you go onto the streets of the web and sell your products and deal directly with the customers, and they'll tell you if you're successful or not, and then you can make those small changes like we talked about,
and then your street can be every street in the entire United States, and then every street like almost in every country,
right?
I mean, or many Perfect. Countries, right? So that's the thing, where it's the street but scalable, the scalable street.
I love it.
Scalable Street Vendor.
That's a great brand name. Somebody should trademark, right? Scalable Street Vendor. and just to flashback on what you just said about the self-talk and the mm-hmm. telling yourself, everybody deals with that.
Mm-hmm.
Even no matter how successful you get, there's still that flash of it comes back to you, and you have to discipline yourself not to listen to that talk. And I think it comes from everybody around. Very few people are successful in life. What do you think the percentage is of?
Well, it depends, right? So it depends, of course, success of different definitions.
Yeah.
But I would say if you're in the top 10% of income, that's one type of successful.
Right.
Top 10%, top 5%. Again, some people would say success, you're in 51%.
Yeah.
Even you're in the 70%. Like, it all depends, but financially able to do things and you're not stopped by money, I would say is a very small percentage.
Very small percentage. So everybody around you, nobody's experienced that. So of course, to them, the reality is, well, it can't be done. You have to be special. You have to, all these other reasons. And you, we're so used to hearing that, that when we fail, it's almost like that recording pops on in our head and we start telling ourselves that.
Yes.
That's the most dangerous voice, is the inner voice, is that inner critic.
Yes.
And we have to discipline ourselves to shut that voice out, not pretend it isn't there or fight it. It's got to, you got to look at it just like an unwanted guest that's kind of crashing in your house. Mm-hmm. Eventually he'll leave.
Mm-hmm.
He'll leave your mental house,
mm-hmm.
and just let it stay there and just keep going the way you're going.
Yep.
And keep persisting.
That's right. And the truth is, a lot of them are quote unquote true. I have been an idiot. I have been a failure. I have been a loser.
Right.
And in fact, like, I am a loser in a way. You could say that because, hey, I was in a triathlon and I got whatever in the bottom 70%. So I lost to so many people. By definition, dictionary definition, I'm a loser.
I wish I'd
known.
I wish I'd known, because I wouldn't have done this interview if I'd known you came in the bottom 70% of a triathlon. Come on, Aaron.
But the point is that we lose at everything. Not everything, but we lose at so many things and we win at so many things. So it's, hey, you're a winner. Hey, you're a loser. They're both true, because we lose at many things and we win at many things.
Yeah.
But are you going to define yourself that way? Right? Mm. Is it the identity of who you really are and what you're capable of? Because when you said you have to be special to do it, I think you do have to be special. But more importantly, you have to bring that specialness out of you and operate with that, because everybody is born with something special and amazing inside of them.
Right.
And they're also born with demons or whatever they have inside of them. So we both have both of them. So it's just, what are you gonna listen to that day? How are you gonna act? Because you may not change. This is, I think, a Mahatma Gandhi quote or some quote, but like, this is a quote. You can change the way, I'm going to do it again, sorry.
Right.
This, I think it's a Mahatma Gandhi quote. Okay, we'll cut this. I think it's a Mahatma Gandhi quote, but it says, you cannot change what you think, but you can change what you do.
Mm,
right? You can
beautiful.
Have thoughts that you cannot control. They're going to come. But guess what? You can always control what you do.
Beautiful.
So
I love that.
You've done an amazing thing with your life, providing for your family, turning literally severed hands into supreme success. Jay, thank you for coming on the show.
Pleasure, Aaron. Thank you.
Yeah.